There are so many reasons why I got into teaching.
One of the best things is the light bulb moment.
When you see a pupil suddenly understand something, that's really, really special.
Every child is so full of potential, and the thing that makes me proudest to be a teacher is seeing them realise what they are capable of.
I don't think any other job can give you the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
You're now listening to Gamertag Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen. Podcasting since 2005. You are listening to Gamertag Radio. With your hosts, Godfrey, Pete Rock, Paris, Pasta. I won this club.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio episode 492. Yes, I am back. This is your old Danny, also aka Godfrey. Welcome to Gamertag Radio. And also we have the whole crew up in here. Let's start off with Pete Rock. Pete, what's up?
What's up?
What's going on, man? How's everything over there, Mel?
I'm
north?
Fine. I've been fine. I didn't catch the con flu like some people on the show. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling a lot better, man. I was hurting for like a week, man. I was complaining online, on the chat.
Glad to have you back, though. Let's get this
Thanks, though, man. It felt weird, right? Without me last week or
no?
Not really?
It was fantastic. We got to talk about Destiny. It was great.
Oh, no. All right. And also, we have Poston J. Poston, what's up, man?
What's up? How's everything? Again, welcome back. I'm glad you got your rest. I'm glad it wasn't coming too serious. But again, you get all those thousands of people next to each other. Things pass pretty easily. Happy you're back on the show. Let's get into it. Got some not too much big stuff to talk about, but
all right.
We'll talk here and there, but let's go.
All right, and we also have Paris.
You know, remember the movie The Matrix?
The movie The Matrix. Which one?
The first one.
Remember at the end of the first Matrix, remember when, you know, Agent Smith shot him and then Neo figured it out and then he woke up and all he could see was code?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that happened to my son this week with Destiny playing the Crucible. I think he's just seeing the code now.
What happened?
That boy is a beast. He's a beast. I will fully admit he is way better than me at the Crucible right now. And I'll tell you, everybody listening, he's way better than you at the Crucible too.
You know why?
I just walked in and watched this boy go 34 kills, 3 assists, and 3 deaths. And the only time one of his deaths was my fault because I was talking to him.
He probably gave you that look, right?
You understand why, like, right? Because you're 40-plus year old. You don't have the Twitch response like these kids these days have.
No. I get that. I get that. But he's a 9-year-old boy, and he's like a freaking Crucible savant. He literally texts me all day when I'm at work, and he's like telling me how to play the game. He sent me a text telling me the strategy that we were going to do in the Iron Banner this week, and I read it, and I said, he's right. I just said, okay.
He's a G.
That's pretty cool, though. I mean, were you like that, Paris, when you were 9?
No.
Not really.
No. Danny, there wasn't even an internet when I was 9 years old. Okay,
so no,
it was like 1963. He's an old man, dude. Come on now.
Yeah, me and Martin Luther King was walking in Selma when I was 9.
I'm talking about like just playing games at that time.
No. Okay. I know what you're saying. No, I think he's better than me even back then. I know what you mean. Like I remember like playing Mike Tyson's Punch Out and stuff like that, and trying to figure it all out and all that. But no, he looks at stuff. He just figures it out right away. It's crazy. And
I've been saying that for how many years now on the show. My son is the gamer I wish I could be.
Yeah,
he knows what to do, and he's not genre specific like me and Paris. Like, give me a gun and shooter, and every once in a while, let me run up on Witcher. No, it doesn't matter what kind of game it is.
Here's the other crazy thing, because I don't let him do the in-game content in Destiny that requires, you know, going on Destiny LFG or talking to people he doesn't know, right? So he hasn't been able to do that. So that's why I'm legitimately thinking about getting a second PlayStation 4 so we can play together. Because, I mean, me and him have literally bonded over this game. It's crazy. But
that's awesome, though.
I know it is. It's real cool. But to the point of it, he knows the raids from just watching me. Like, he will tell me stuff about the raids and, oh, no, Dad, no, don't go over there because such and such as this is going to happen. And I look at him like, how the hell does he know this? You know? it's crazy, man. So that's been my week where I think he woke up. He just sees all the code now. So Destiny, Bungie might have to ban him from playing the game because I think he knows the code. He's Neo. You know,
I think David, our former community manager, said it best. Y'all should have like a one-on-one and whoever loses has to actually play it on the Xbox One.
Well, I might as well go ahead and just pick it up on an Xbox One because I'm going to lose. He's going to beat me.
All right. Remember, guys, head over to GamerTagRadio.com. Post your comments and feedback. Also, give us a call, 76-273-7GTR. That's 76-273-7GTR. Or email us, fanmail@GamerTagRadio.com. A word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
This is GamerTag Radio. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
Buying new razors is never at the top of your mind and is almost always last minute errand. You don't need to drag out the last blade or rush to the nearest drugstore. Harry's takes guesswork out of shaving and they send the blades directly to your door based on how often you shave. See, with me, my co-host Peter and Paris, they recommended to get Harry's. So this is what I did. I went to the site, used the promo code, got my first kit. I liked it so much that right after I shaved, I went again to the website, signed up to a monthly subscription service because I love it. You know, I went to E3, took my package over there, and I was looking smooth all week. With Harrys.com, you don't need to overpay at the drugstore for quality razor blades. By cutting out the middleman, Harry's deliver high-quality razor blades for half the price. Shipping is free, and the blades go from their German factory straight to your door. You can finally get the quality shave without having to feel cheated by the big-name drugstore brands. Start your Harry's monthly subscription and never worry about buying blades again. As a special offer for new customers, get your free razor and save $5 off with your first subscription with promo code GTR at checkout. That's promo code GTR at checkout. Head over to harrys.com, use promo code GTR, and start shaving better today.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so we're back here, Gamer Tag Radio, and man, we have a couple things to talk about, man. A couple things. But first, let's talk about what happened during the month of June and during the week of E3. Who would like to do the honors? Because this is like something that I was not expecting at all. I knew our numbers was going to be high, but not like this. Anybody?
You. Do it.
Me? I'm always doing this. All right. So during the week of E3, we managed to post a lot of content. I think it was less than last year. I think last year we had like 30-something episodes. This year we had between 22, 25. I can't really remember. I got to count the episodes in total. But so here's what happened. During the month of June, you almost have like, what, almost a million downloads. And during the week of E3, we had over 500,000 downloads. Which is a huge thing for us. We never reached this number ever. And I think this is pretty big, you know, just a combination of having, you know, CBS helping us out, promoting the content, like on video, the site and all that stuff. And just in general, just had a combination of getting like the community, spreading the word, especially like the Aaron Greenberg interview that was like everywhere. That was pretty cool. And having Aisha Tyler, which Paris fainted like three times during that interview. That was pretty cool too. That just the combination of everything, the content, the interviews, you know, you guys did an amazing job with all the content and stuff during E3. I know I'm just like in shock and still surprised about this amount of downloads, you know?
Yeah. So. And I am too. And like you're saying, just congrats to you for just everything that you've done, to Pete, to Poston, just it's amazing. Like I remember, I can't remember if it was Wednesday or Thursday when we were at E3, you showed me a number like we've already had this many downloads and it would already had just beaten what we had did all of E3 last year. And it was like crazy. Like we're tripping that whole day. And then we saw the numbers just kept, after E3 was over, just kept growing and growing. And then that's when we kind of knew, like, we got a chance of hitting a million. We might get close to a million. And then obviously, you know, at the end of June, when the final numbers came out, to see that we got that close to a million downloads. I think, what was the final total? 935,000?
Yep.
like that. And then just during the week of E3, we had 522,000, you know, downloads listens.
Actually more, almost 550,000.
Yeah, see, insane. It's just insane. But, you know, just thank you to everybody out there that's been listening to the show, that's been supporting us. I mean, obviously, we're not getting to that number without you guys, you know, just downloading the, I can't even talk, I'm so excited about it, but just downloading, you know, the episodes and just supporting everything that Gamertag Radio has been, has just been awesome. So yeah, I've, and like you said with Aisha, I fainted 3 times in. I probably fainted 20 times after those numbers came out. So it's it's just great. It really is.
Awesome. And Possum, anything you want to say?
It's remarkable. Just congratulations, you guys. That was my, again, most fun E3 I've ever been to. And the work we put in, the work we got out of it, the results that are now becoming apparent, just amazing stuff. Makes me, you know, excited to get up in the morning and, you know, think about, you know, Gamertag Radio for the week. It's so cool. This is going to be a kind of a slow couple of months until games pick up back up again, but I just think we are just such in perfect position to just take off like a rocket from here. Like, you know, it's behind us now, moving into July, moving into the second half of 2015. I could not be more excited. Like, we such a cool position to be in, so many great games coming, and, you know, what an amazing E3 to come off of with so much energy and hype to build us into the rest of the next year.
I have to say, though, this, Pastor, like, you hyped me up even more with the interview of the For Honor.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I was going back and listening to like all the interviews, and that one got my attention the most, besides like the whole Destiny conversation that Paris and Pete had with Luke. That interview got me so hyped because you could tell that you were just being you, and it wasn't like, you know, faking it. Oh, he's here. Let me try to hype this guy up, this game up and everything. And that was a pretty good interview. I really enjoyed that, man. Oh, I have to say that.
I wish more developers would, you know, announce games and have playable builds at the show that year. I just think that is just the way to go moving forward. I mean, I like, you know, marketing CGI trailer as much as the next hardcore gamer, but I just don't think we need to be moving in that direction anymore. I agree with, you know, Bethesda's idea of, you know, announcing a game that comes out that year, or Nintendo saying our press conference this year was about, you know, the next 6 months and then early 2016. We're not thinking past that. I appreciate people that focus on the here and now. And again, I, like, you're just not going to get better buzz for a game and a new idea until you put it into someone's hands and be like, wow, I didn't know I needed this kind of moments.
Okay. Pete, very quick, you want to say anything before we go to our main topics and stuff?
I just want to take personal credit for the success of this entire show in the past month of June.
Okay, well, thank you.
No, thanks to everybody. We all kicked ass. Thanks to everybody that pressed download on their smart device and downloaded the show or listened to it from the from you know, their computers or whatever. Just thanks to everybody. Thanks to CBS. You guys have said everything that I could have said, so we'll just leave it at that. You know, just thanks to everybody for supporting the show.
Awesome, man. Oh, very quick, guys. I would like to thank a couple people because I had a presentation a couple of days ago during Social Media Day here in Miami, Florida. It was pretty cool. I got to meet like a lot of
I heard you killed it.
I had a blast. I want to say this very quick.
Killed it. Heard the best speech at the show is what I heard.
Yes,
from a couple
of
people.
Yes, a lot of people have been saying that. Look, I was a little bit worried because I was like, man, nobody is actually talking about podcasting here. You know, this is the first time that someone's talking about that topic at the event. And, man, people loved it. They loved it big time. And so I would like to thank everybody that attended the session. The room was full. It was packed. And I had a blast. And it was cool telling them about you guys and how we started and everything. So it was pretty awesome. So
very cool.
And also, next month, I would like to mention this very, very quick because this is very, very important to me. Actually, the end of this month, July 31st, is Podcast Movement and also the awards where they're going to induct me to the Hall of Fame for podcasting. And, you know, I would like to get together with people around the area in Fort Worth because my goal is to take a lot of the community members that are podcasters, just gamers or fans that listen to the show, I would like to get together at, you know, in a meetup and just attend the awards together. You know, I feel like, you know, this is a big thing for me that I'm getting this award. But at the same time, I feel like the community should be there because, you know, without you guys, we wouldn't be in, like, in this position right now, you know. So I would like to, you know, invite you guys. For more information, just contact me, Godfrey@gamertagradio.com. And I'll send you a link where we're going to meet up and everything. And let's get together, man. There's a couple people already going to meet up. I believe we already have like 12. So the more, the better. So email me, Godfrey@gamertagradio.com. All right. So, guys, you are a huge PC gamers. Huge, huge, huge. But I've been reading some articles that Warner Brothers knew about the situation about the new Batman game, that they knew that it was going to have issues before it came out, but they still released the game. What are your thoughts about that? Because that's kind
of
like...
It's not a shock at all. Of course they knew. I mean, the game was being played in some state before they actually decided to distribute it to the public. So they knew that all these issues were there. And like the article was saying, they thought the game was good enough in the current state that it was, which, you know, for the PC gaming community was a complete slap in the face because they tried to limit it to 30 frames per second. They didn't, you know, all the texture issues trying to run it, you know, at a higher resolution, just complete nonsense. The whole thing, like, I went through that game and I went and followed some of the suggestions to change some of the INI files and unlock the 30 frames per second. So I got it running at a higher frame, you know, some of the things to improve the textures and everything. I started playing it. It was playing okay. But then I thought about it and I go, this is horse crap. I should not have to sit here and spend 30 minutes tinkering with this game to have it in a playable state, let alone have to deal with all the issues that it had at launch. I mean, they've released one patch so far, still not good enough. So I decided to shelve it again and I'm just going to wait. It may not even get played by me this summer at this point because I'm that disgusted with everything that's happened with the PC release on this.
And it's a fun game. I've been playing it on Xbox.
I wouldn't know.
I'm glad you like it. You're the only person I knew who has a game.
Yeah. It's cool. Like, it's like, I mean, I wish I could say why. I just want to like spoil and everything like that. Cause I try to not read, like, I try not to read like reviews at all. You know, and I was waiting to finish The Witcher 3, which
Danny, never let Pete talk about this at all. He's a PC gamer.
No, I'm going to talk about it. But I'm just saying that it's an amazing game. It's pretty good. It's just sad that you guys are in a position, like, you know, as PC gamers, that you guys buy this game and you can even really enjoy it. Like, it's kind of, I don't know. I think it's shady and messed up.
We can't say that it's shady because we briefly touched upon the situation last show. So for those that haven't listened, go back into the archives. You can listen to it, you know, in our thoughts. It happens. It happens. I mean, it was last minute. You know, we don't know the exact reasoning behind why the port, you know, was bad. I don't know. It's just bad planning. And in, you know, in today's day and age where we've, you know, where game developers have to accommodate multiple platforms, you know, it just happens. There's really no.
But here's the thing, Pete. A lot of companies behind the scenes, they have a deadline, right? And it's not because of the developers, but remember the publishers behind the scenes, it's the stocks and just the business deal and everything and the hype. And they don't want to delay the game because most of them, because it will hurt their business.
We talked about this last week, though. We already talked about this.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I wasn't here.
But yeah, you weren't here.
I had to express myself. No, but I'm just saying very quick. They just need to release it, you know? So they're in a situation. It's like, should we delay it? Should we release it? Or what are we going to do? And if they do, then they know that the game had bugs. And when you open the game on day one, you see the update right there. Boom. Or sometime like a week later. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. It's just, the whole thing is just crazy to me, man. You know?
Yeah.
But
I don't know. What I found interesting, we'll move on from this, is you brought up a good point, Danny, about how story intensive the game was. And one of the quotes in the article was, because it was such a plot heavy game and they were so afraid of spoilers getting out, they didn't use traditional, as they say, PT testing firms to make sure, like outsource the Q&A, the bugging to other people, because they were obviously short on manpower. I think it said out of 100 QA testers, about 10 of them were dedicated to PC, so they were severely understaffed. But yeah, it shot them in the foot because the plot was so important to them. And I'm sure it's a great plot. I look forward to playing it one day, but that helped put another knife in basically their knee of why they had such troubles porting this over. And it's just sad. It's just sad reading about all these horrible ports because, you know, as someone said, you know, 2015 seems to be the year of, you know, will this work on PC? As opposed to, I'm looking forward to this on PC. It's, you know, the preface of what work am I have to put in before I can enjoy this game. I don't think that's right.
But that's the only game. That's the only game that has that issue with PC. I haven't heard any other game.
Other games have optimization issues, especially ones that are primarily developed on consoles and then ported to PC, like using an independent studio like they did for Iron Galaxy to port. And I'm sure PC gamers can, you know, give you a list of games that have this problem, but I've read about this on a consistent basis, it feels like. Even as a non-PC gamer, I'm exposed to this. And I just, you know, it's messed up. That PC should be the lead platform for a majority of games. It's easier to develop for than consoles, and then consoles should be ported to. But, you know, clearly a lot of developers and publishers disagree about that.
So the next topic is, I know you guys talked about that last week about the whole Batman. So listen to last week's episode, guys. I wasn't here, so to me it doesn't count because I wasn't here. I had to express myself. It's all good. But Nintendo, wow, they're just still taking shots to Sony and Microsoft, especially Reggie. Reggie, during every interview that I've been reading, he's like, look, you know, us Nintendo, when we show a game, we show gameplay. We're not showing like this like CGI, video and all that. We show the actual gameplay. And at the same time, we show games that's coming out the same year, not a game or that we're going to announce that's like coming out in 5-6 years from now. You know what I'm saying? And in a way, I agree what he's saying, but I would like to know what you guys think about.
Then again, the Nintendo platform doesn't really have to work that hard to generate the graphics that are used on a typical Nintendo game anyways. Mm-hmm. So it's not like they have to put a lot of time and investment in a CGI trailer. The games are rather simple platformer type games.
Besides that, though, Pete, isn't he right? That isn't wrong that you go to a press conference and they show a game and the game's not coming out till like 5-6 years. Like, what is the point? Is it because you want to have the best press conference?
No, because you're building hype for future titles. Remember, everything...
Pete, six years.
Let
That's
people
a long time.
Talk. Shut up. For games that are coming out in 16, 17, 18, whatever, that's fine. There's already the marketing program has already been laid out for games that are out in 2015. So while I applaud that they're saying, here's what we're going to be providing to you guys in the fall and holiday of 2015, maybe the beginning of 2016. Okay. That's fine because they're just continuing the marketing for those titles. But the Microsofts and the Sonys, they're thinking forward. The Ubisofts and the EAs and the 2Ks and all the, they're thinking forward. They're thinking of what we're going to present to build and raise hype for their other titles, not just what's coming out this year.
I don't know. I disagree with that, but whatever. I think 2, maybe 3 max, but 5-6 years, like the Last Guardian.
Well, no game wants to be vaporware, Danny, to be fair. I mean, that's the nature of development hell, is we only get the cool parts of development and all the nitty gritty, you know, losing sleep stuff is left to the artists and the programmers and, you know, the producers and stuff like that. But no, I think you bring up a fair point, Danny. I agree with Miyamoto's, you know, criticism that, you know, the Nintendo booth, people were playing, happy, enjoying themselves, playing the games they wanted to play. Yeah, me neither. I didn't get to play either, so I'm sad I didn't get to play Star Fox. But compared to the other third-party ones, the Microsoft, the Sonys, they were a lot of lines standing around to see a press conference, I'm sorry, a behind-the-scene doors demo played by a developer. So you still got to experience the game, but it wasn't you playing it. So a perfectly fair criticism.
Okay, so attribute that to like your Ghost Recon experience. Mm-hmm. You didn't get to put hands on. All you got was a... behind, you know, closed doors opportunity to see the game being played. Mm-hmm. You just couldn't touch it. How would you feel that? How do you feel about that compared to the Nintendo shade?
Now, I think it's different because, like, as you said, Nintendo develops a certain style of games that other party people don't. And I think the advantage there is Ghost Recon was showing off the tech they were going to use for next-gen systems and PC in terms of the scale, how large the environment is, the no load times, the non-linearity of it. that to me is fine to announce 2, 3, 4 years in advance, because you're showcasing what kind of tech we can expect, because a lot of people are still not sold on these consoles. Seeing things like that is what I would show people, to be like, look, this is what the future is coming. This is what, you know, online shooters will look like a couple years down the road. Nintendo, I think, develops what they do, and they do it very, very well. Again, we'd all love to see more innovation, new IPs from them. But what they do, they're fun games. They're easy to pick up and play. And more importantly, they work on their system. So I'm fine with what Nintendo had to show. It's fun stuff. I look forward to some of the 3DS releases. But again, as I've said before on other shows, like, looking forward to new Nintendo hardware is my primary focus now. I've kind of given up on the Wii U at this point, it looks like. I'm looking forward.
So no Zelda? No Zelda for you?
I feel like if they're making new hardware, new Zelda will be a launch title for it, just like what they did with Twilight Pride, where it was a launch title for the Wii and then was also in the GameCube as well. So I don't think I'm going to get burned, but I feel like there's really no incentive, besides Bayonetta 2, obviously, for me to get a Wii U right now as it stands.
Okay, so you brought up the Nintendo NX, and I don't mean to take away from what we're talking about, but I just felt it was a good segue into the report and video that was leaked this week. So it looks like we're looking at Nintendo NX manufacturing has already started.
That's surprising.
This was sourced as supposedly going to come out in 2016. I don't see that happening.
I would be shocked.
You never know.
If they were good as Cloak and Dagger as Bethesda was, it could totally be true. They could have been, you know, secretive over in Japan building this whole time. That'd be cool with me. You announce new console at E3 next year, say it's coming out in the holiday, I mean, I'll get excited with everyone else. That's built interest in Nintendo.
I heard this rumor during E3 that Nintendo was had a chance to talk to like a couple third-party companies during E3 about their next console.
I feel like they want to redo, because the Wii U had great launch third-party support, but just no one continued with it. So I feel like Nintendo is going to like pressure them, EA, Ubisoft, Activision, 2K, you know, keep this partnership strong. We are serious about third-party this time. You know, this is we understand the American market, the Western market. You know, we want to push to be competitive against the PlayStation and the Xbox, and that's good. That's good for everybody, because that pushes Sony and Microsoft up their game, because they've already much always just stayed away and let Nintendo done their own thing. I think Nintendo is poised to move forward in the industry.
So
very quick, Pete, go for it.
The initial specs that they talked about was an AMD Jaguar processor with a 500 gig hard drive, and I believe it was 8 gigs of RAM, which puts it at or about what we're currently looking at for the launch consoles for Xbox One and PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
Hopefully they can take advantage of current tech. And I know that Nintendo's always been what many consider a step behind. Hopefully they can use today's technology. I mean, you can get a GTX 960 in a small form factor, or if they're going to continue with that AMD partnership, you know, with the Jaguar processor, maybe using one of their smaller R9 Furies or something and put it in there and give it something that can handle a 1080p with 60 frames. And who knows, maybe this is that turnaround for Nintendo into a true next generation console.
Yeah.
Here's the video that got me excited, that I hope Nintendo could do something like that in the future. That Mario video using Unreal graphics.
Yeah, I think that was a fan.
I know it was a fan, but it will be cool to see something like that from Nintendo.
Absolutely.
I think that would be cool. Something different. Yeah. It's cool. All right, so we're going to take a short break, guys. And after that, we're going to come back here and answer some fan mail questions. Yeah, it's going to be a short show this week, man. It's, you know, it's the weekend. We gotta hang out. All right, so we'll be right back after this.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
DraftKings.com, everybody. Baseball is in full swing, and you can be a part of the action all season long at DraftKings.com, which is the official daily fantasy partner of Major League Baseball. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitments, just instant cash and instant gratification. Why would you wait to the end of the season to get paid when you can win huge prizes every day? At DraftKings, it's like a brand new season every time you play. Just pick two pitchers, pick 8 position players, and pick your cash. That's it. Ask Pete.
DraftKings.
Love it.
You love it. Why do you love it?
It's easy. Most of the time, you got to wait to the end of the season, and you don't have to deal with any of that. You don't have to deal with, you know, the 2-hour draft or any of that. No, it's pick it that day. You win money.
So if you're listening to this, use our promo code GAMERTAG, and you can go to DraftKings.com today and be a part of the $10,000 fantasy baseball contest. That is DraftKings.com. It is the official partner of Major League Baseball. Enter that code GAMERTAG for a free entry now at DraftKings.com. That is DraftKings.com.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so we're back here, Gamer Tag Radio, and it's time, guys, fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
Fan mail.
All right, so let's play this first voicemail. It's about Star Wars. Let's see what we have to say.
What's up, Gamer Tag Radio? How you guys doing today? This is Keon calling from Baltimore, Maryland. I just wanted to get you guys' opinion on one thing. I'm going to try to make it as brief as possible. We all know that Star Wars has a very, very heavy, big presence on the PlayStation side of things with the exclusive deal that they have with them regarding different content and different things that will be coming down the pipe sooner or later. But my question to you guys is, if you guys remember during the Microsoft's press briefing, how they got on stage and started talking about that you will get, I think it's a week early access to their games if you sign up for the EA Access. My question to you guys is, do you think that Battlefront will actually show up a week early on the Xbox One side? Since they have obviously said this, maybe it might be a stipulation in there that Battlefront might be one of the titles that may not show up for early access. But just some food for thought. Just some, you know, a question that I would like to get you guys' opinion on. Thank you very much. Greatly appreciate what you guys do. Always look forward to listening in and tuning in to hear what you guys have to say about the gaming culture. Thank you guys so much, and you guys take care. Bye-bye.
I think that's a very easy question to answer. I think EA is going to have that game available first on Xbox One. I mean, it's only going to be a couple days. It's not much, you know. But the thing is, the exclusive are they going to have like exclusive content for Star Wars?
If you get the pre-order, you get I think it's Jakka is the name of the map for multiplayer. Yeah. I don't believe, and from everything I've researched, I don't think that there is a console specific DLC preference or an exclusivity contract with that.
Okay.
You know, Microsoft has the Xbox One EA Access 5-day early, you know, exclusivity concept. So you will get to play, you know, you will get to play Battlefront 5 days before anybody on PC or PlayStation 4 simply because of the EA Access, you know, deal. So there's no, besides the PlayStation 4 being the development platform of choice, that's the only, you know, that's the only one up that they have on everybody else. Other than that, it's a level platform, so I wouldn't be concerned about it.
All right, there's another question here from Lowman. He's also talking about Star Wars. So he was like, hey, guys. So I want to he has a question. He said, I might be late to the party, but with E3 and all, Battlefront talk and kind of Star Wars game, what kind of Star Wars game you would really like to see? He's talking about, like, is it a style like Force Unleashed? Is it
13?
What he wants to know is what kind of game we would like to see with the Star Wars franchise. Obviously, 13-13 is the elephant in the room that never happened. That's what, you know, I mean, I built my current gaming PC based on the anticipation of that game. Yeah. This past week, Amy Hennig, formerly of Naughty Dog, is apparently working on Visceral's Star Wars version, which is going to be similar to a KOTOR meets 13-13 type game. So if that's the case, you've got, you know, an accomplished creative director in Amy Hennig going into the Star Wars environment. That for face value seems like a win-win situation for me. So I could go with that. If they just want to go ahead and bring out 13-13 out of the vault in the back, I'm totally okay with that as well.
All right. Here's another question from Keith Norris. He was like, hey, guys, he's from Little Rock. You guys do great when it comes to the interviews. I remember Paris mentioning he would love to interview Reggie. I think it was me, Paris, but okay. My question is, how do you get information, or how would you get information from this guy? He's like the ultimate PR guy and somewhat of a troll. I love Nintendo, but sometimes he makes them look bad, in my opinion. I would like to see you guys interview him and really dig. Don't give all your secrets away. Ha 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 ha. Have a good one, guys. Do you see Reg as a troll? No. I don't know.
He's very, very good at his job. Like a Jack Trent kind of good.
Go back to the previous segment. That's exactly what he is, because that's what he was doing. He was trolling. So, yeah, I agree with him.
Okay. You know what? Who's another troll, you think, from the industry when it comes to like Reggie? Do you think Peter Moore is?
Peter Molyneux count? Or is that
Luke
just
Smith?
Too far?
Nah, not Luke. Nah, I don't see Luke as a troll. Okay. All right. Any other questions, guys?
Well, we had another voicemail.
All right, so you want to play that? Let's play it.
Hey, what's going on, Gamertag Radio? This is Jacob calling from Charlotte. Once again, big fan of you guys. This question is for Pete and Paris, the Destiny players. I need you guys to tell me how to feel about this, because I play Destiny. I put quite a few hours into it, but, you know, I never maxed out any character. I made it up to, like, 28 with two characters and, like, a 14 with one character, and I just stopped playing. Never got any of the DLCs. So from my understanding, whenever the Taken King comes out, I would have to pay $60 to get back into it. And that would include the two DLCs plus the Taken King, which comes at a price of $40 by itself for everyone. So I don't know. I need you guys to tell me how to feel. I don't know how to feel right now, because should I feel bad that I have to pay the same price as a brand new player to play the content, including the content I already have? Or should I feel good that I get a discount on the two DLCs that I've never even played in the first place? You know, this pricing situation, I see why it's causing such an uproar, because people are just confused about their feelings, including me. I don't even know how to feel. From some long-term Destiny players, can you guys tell me how I should feel about this? Because you're the experts. I'm obviously not. Thank you. Keep up the great work. Love you guys.
All right, another Destiny question. Man, you guys are hooked with this Destiny game. Wow. Paris,
and also shout to Gregory Shorter, because he basically he sent an email that was similar to what this voicemail was, just talking about the pricing. So right. I'll just say really quick, if you just have vanilla Destiny, you never picked up the DLCs, you'll need to spend the $60 if you want to experience some of the content from House of Wolves and also from The Dark Below. But the one thing Bungie has not clarified yet, if you just get the Taken King and you had vanilla Destiny, what are you missing out on? I would assume you're not going to get the Dark Below raid. You're not going to get Prison of Elders. It seems to be their MO now that they're carrying over all the Crucible maps, so you'll be able to get that. But what about Trials of Osiris? They haven't said if that mode will carry over to Taken King as well, unless you have the House of Wolves. So there's still some questions about that, and I totally get his frustration, because Bungie hasn't 100% answered everything yet, and there looks like they're trying to piecemeal it out over the summer to get everything answered. But just in my personal opinion, if you want to experience everything Destiny, then the $60, yeah, it would be worth it. And yeah, you're getting a discount because you basically didn't play any of that stuff during year one, so it'd be fine. But if you want to skip out on that and just jump into Taken King, it sounds like that's going to be fine as well.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Bungie, Paris, I would like to say this, because every year, you know, Bungie always has some like cool content on their website. I believe on July 7th, isn't that Bungie Day?
Bungie Day? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think they might have something cool? Like,
I have no comment.
Okay.
Right. Insider information.
I mean, look, I feel like they might, because
I think,
you know,
they will
do this.
It's
every
always
year.
A big deal.
Yeah, they do that with Halo. They've done it with Halo, and, you know,
no doubt.
You never know. They might have some cool stuff on also. Yeah. All right. So I think we should wrap it up. All right. Source show this week. It's cool. You guys, we have a lot of content from E3. You could go back and check those out. But we'll be right back next week with more content and everything. And that's it. Head over to gamertagradio.com or play.it to listen to our past episodes, or give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Or if you guys can't call from like international, you could also send us an email, record an MP3, send it via email. We'll get it, and we also answer your questions. Doesn't matter. We're trying to get listeners from all around the world to send us voicemails. We get emails all the time, but send us voicemails. I think that's very, very cool. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. And I think that's it. Once again, we'd like to thank everybody that's been supporting us throughout the years, especially during the time of E3. Once again, we did pretty big numbers during E3, and it was because of you guys. So anything else? Paris, Pete, Patrick?
I like Beats 1.
Oh, he likes Beats 1. Okay, Patrick?
I like Sennheiser. Are we just going to name brands?
Okay. And what about you, Pete?
Look forward to the balcony coming soon. I think Paris, myself, and former GTR staff member Mandy going to be talking health, fitness for fat people and yaks.
Okay. Wow, that was going to be very interesting. Okay. All right, guys, until next week, we are out. Peace. Later. Bye.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Thanks for listening. Tune in next week.